Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome into our KER Politics, probably the most popular opinion program on the internet for our podcast anyway during the week in terms of radio stations. Well, we are on over 21 stations, so that certainly does speak to the popularity. Not so much, I want to stress, that speaks to the popularity more of our bloggers than anybody else. We got the show divided up today where we're going to talk a little bit about the situation in the agricultural industry in the first segment. Then we're going to talk about Durham and Sussman. Then in the second hour, we're going to talk a little bit in the third segment about the overall frustration going on in the United States right now. And then in the final segment, we're going to wrap it up by basically simplifying the overall political situation in the United States. Having said that, let's talk about the agricultural situation. You know, this seems to have started ever since the movie came out. Major movie came out, at least on the cable networks, probably about 3 or 4 months ago. They were talking about the food situation. They were talking about how the agriculture was impacting the global warming in terms of the forests, etc., etc. A lot of popularity since that thing came out. Jimmy, simplify for us, would you?
Well, I think we're facing, you know, and the administration, the regime in charge right now has talked about potential food shortages. They're blaming it on, you know, the war in Ukraine because of the fertilizer that's developed there, because of the wheat that that is produced in Ukraine.
Yeah.
They're talking about it because of supply chain issues globally. And they're blaming it all on, you know, many issues, but this comes very simply down to a global supply chain system that is buckling and failing very rapidly.
Mm-hmm. It is buckling and failing very rapidly. There's no question about that. I don't think that we're going into a serious situation with food. For example, I'm not really sure that you can attribute the trepidations that are going right on right now to Biden. I don't think they're that, quite frankly, sophisticated, and I don't think they have really any thought about trying to screw up the food chain in America. Your comments on that, Jimmy?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on this. I think they're not planning food shortages. At least I hope and pray they're not planning. But their policies are directly contributing to the food shortages. And let's start with Ukraine, the war in Ukraine and the impact, the global impact on that situation because of, you know, the lack of production and large grain producers that really feed, you know, part of, you know, not only Russia, but many parts of Europe. And that impacts the global supply chain of food because we have moved away from individual independence to this ability to transit food and responsibilities. Now, here's where, so the failure of the Biden administration to stop this before it started, I'm going to say that is a huge contributor. Here's another very important contributor. The fact is that this administration, this regime, is pushing a climate agenda that is forcing energy prices exceptionally high. So we've got well over double the price of just a year ago for fuel and gas. That directly impacts the ability to transit and store and produce food. Everything has to be either moved one place to another because of the transportation across the ocean or from airlines or whatever in order to produce it. And of course, you need machines and tractors and everything else, distribution for your trucks from store to store. That has directly impacted the bottom line margins for some of these companies are directly impacted by the energy policies this administration is trying to force on the world in order to achieve their green energy goals.
Well, you know, it's interesting, but Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington State, who I personally think is doing an abysmal job given the way that he totally shut down the state because of this COVID situation over the last couple of years, he announced his candidacy for president just recently, and he has said that he is the only candidate, he said with a lot of pride, Jimmy, I'm the only candidate who is running at this moment in time on a global warming agenda. What do you
think? Well, he's the only one willing to stand up and say something that stupid, but that is the agenda that he's pushed in Washington State. And of course, the West Coast lefty loony climate change, you know, freaks that believe that the end of the world is coming in now 8 years. It was 12 years, but now 4 years later, 8 years to the end of the world. The ridiculous arguments that they make, that's still appealing to people in his constituency. And there's a certain group out there that believe the propaganda, that believe the fear mongering. And unfortunately, that's going to appeal to a certain groups. But I'm just going to tell you, Jay Inslee did not do well in the primaries. He never got over 1%. He's not going anywhere because he really has messed up a very good state and an easily manageable state with many, many issues in my view.
Well, it's going to be really interesting how this thing turns out. The guy is a pretty successful politician in the sense that he is one of the longest-running governors in the state of Washington, you know, as Frieda brought up. But the fact of the matter is, I think he is way, way too far left. I mean, he has turned the state of Washington basically into a completely unionized state. Not completely, but a major unionized state when it comes to some of the industry here. And look what the result of that is. Well, Washington State, for all practical purposes up to this point in time, because of the unionization, has pretty much lost Boeing.
Yeah, it's lost Boeing. Many companies are beginning. Amazon, obviously, in Seattle, they had to move out of there because of the policies.
Right.
The government of Washington State has been able to do well because of the revenues from the large tech companies, the Amazons, Microsoft, you know, headquartered outside of, you know, in Redmond. These large, very large tech companies that have operated in Seattle have paid the bills for many, many issues. But as people are beginning to say, wait, housing prices are skyrocketing, I can't afford to live. By the way, the crime policies have just failed to protect individual citizens. It's just absolute mayhem in the major urban areas in Washington State. And that failure is impacting you know, people's decision to stay. And many, many people are leaving the state. And some of the big, large companies like Boeing have left the state. And I think it's very interesting, you know, Boeing left Seattle, headquarters left Seattle, moved to Chicago. They just left Chicago, moved to Alexandria in Virginia. Very interesting. So, but again, if we're talking about food shortages, we're talking about, you know, and Washington State produces a lot of food, raspberries, you know, massive fruit and berry right there in Whatcom County where you live. It's a very incredibly expensive, and farmers can't make it with the prices that are out there. And then, of course, this just-in-time logistics to be able to move food from one place to another without any inventories, that's what we pushed with globalization. And, of course, we're seeing the system break down because of some of these regulatory policies and, of course, all the conflict that's out there.
Well, I have to say that if Governor Inslee is the poster child for the Democratic Party in terms of the presidential nominee in 2024, I think they got the wrong poster child. I don't think there's any question about that. They may have the right poster child if they are looking for a far, far left-wing progressive. A gentleman who's not even close to being a centrist, for lack of better terms. They were an Inslee, and I think that's what they're going to get, and I don't think it'll be successful. Stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Yeah.
your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back, starting segment two of KER Politics, the two musketeers. They're not exactly the two musketeers, but Durham and Sussman. Jimmy, why don't you elaborate?
Yeah, so John Durham, the special prosecutor investigating the origins of the 2016 Russia collusion narrative and how the Clinton campaign, the DNC, and lawyers Perkins Coie and Fusion GPS actually kicked off this political attack that really held the America hostage for a year. John Durham is now prosecuting in trial Michael Sussman. Michael Sussman was a Perkins Coie law firm working for the DNC, and he's now now they're 3 or 4 days into testimony, maybe it started on Monday. So maybe this week's testimony. And there's some very interesting things that have come out of this initial trial that is basically charging Michael Sussman with lying to the FBI, saying he did not represent a candidate when in fact he billed the Clinton campaign for his efforts to shape a lying narrative.
But Jimmy, let me ask you a question, okay? My favorite line, really, to our great bloggers is I say over and over again, do you really think this will ever see the light of day? Let's talk about Sussman.
So, okay, it's seeing the light of day. It's just a matter of, in America, if the media picks it up and reports it, then people see it on a broad level. What we're not seeing is the media identifying and highlighting a direct illegal attack on a presidential campaign, and then eventually the president in office by Department of Justice, by the FBI, and by political operatives. Mm-hmm. And so we're not getting the coverage. Remember in 2016 and 2017, 2018, daily there were news stories and leaks talking about Russia collusion with Trump, that he was in fact a stooge. The talk show hosts, late at night, Jimmy Kimmel, and they constantly were making either crude jokes or highlighting this fact. And so people were saturated for years. We're not seeing anything like that, even though there is fact-based evidence being presented right now in the case that this entire effort was a coordinated political attack that used tools of our government law enforcement agencies in order to smear an administration and an individual, the President of the United States, in order to achieve disruption and political ends. And that is something that if we can continue to tolerate, these media outlets that support this agenda are actually walking us into a complete state-run propaganda effort. We're there. I think we're actually there. And so with the Sussman trial, I really, truly believe it is the most important, not just the Sussman trial in particular, but the Durham investigation and whether or not there is actually accountability for the people that were involved in creating this lie through the not only the Alpha Bank scandal, which was the lie that Sussman told to Jim Baker, the head FBI lawyer, but if the entire overall collusion narrative, if we don't get to that, we're basically... There's no sense of justice, and half America will be completely fed up and alienated with the failures in Washington to do what's right.
You know, my only fear here, Jimmy, quite frankly, is that when you talk about half America, I really wonder sometimes. I mean, the progressives are very, very vocal. I mean, now look what's going on right now with something we're going to talk about probably in the next segment. You know, you're getting emails now from Obama, you're getting emails from Pelosi. They're getting very, very active in negative campaigning, which I would call. Now, the question I have is on something that's important, that's as important as this particular trial. are the conservatives going to get on the bandwagon and really use that information as effectively as the Democrats are utilizing Obama and Pelosi?
They are using it, but I think the level of trust in the media is waning, and clearly it's showing in the ratings for right. cable news networks. You know, CNN had to just, you know, a couple weeks ago had to cancel their brand new upstart, you know, millions and millions of dollars invested into CNN Plus, hundreds of millions of dollars, mm-hmm. and they had to drop it. The ratings for MSNBC are just down abysmal. For the left-wing talk show hosts. Yep. So people are fed up with it, and I think it's working its way out, but there's really not enough momentum to stop the visceral attacks from the progressive on the left yet, because people are actually afraid to counter those narratives yep. without being attacked. And that's the tool that authoritarians use. Fear, and then of course Justice Department and this administration, this regime that's in charge right now, they're using those tools of intimidation, of coordination, of threats by the Justice Department over people's ability to speak freely, especially in the media, and actually attempting to control the dialogue. That is what is so frightening, but I think Americans are beginning to wake up over it. So.
Well, I got to tell you, I really hope Americans are beginning to wake up. I know where there's a lot of frustration in what's going on right now. We're going to talk about that in the final segment of KER Politics. There's a lot of frustration as to what's going on right now. My question is, who's got the stronger political team specifically?
Well, and again, I think that the administration right now is waning seriously with the political team. They just, yeah. their people are falling apart. They have a very incompetent communications director right now in the White House. She's proven it in her first opening speeches. Jen Psaki was so constantly, you know, being false, providing false information that the credibility really went down because they're covering up for an incompetent yeah. and probably mentally incapable man of leading this government. But so back to the Durham investigation. So one of the key advisors in one of the Clinton campaign manager himself, Robbie Mook, actually has just spoken in the Durham trial today. It's Friday as we record this, that he's quote to say, we told her, being Hillary Clinton, we have this information on the Alpha Bank story and we want to share it with a reporter. She agreed to that.
Yeah,
in other words,
I agree. 15 seconds, Jim.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton was directly involved and Robbie Mook just directly involved her in this investigation, which should open the doors to a lot of questions.
Well, I got to tell you, I definitely hope that opens the door to an awful lot of questions. Nothing would make me happier than if Hillary Clinton was one of the people who took down the Democratic Party. Stick around, going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Time to continue KER Politics. Hope you guys enjoyed the top of the hour news on the stations that carry our particular program. Jimmy and I are going to talk about the overall frustration that I think a lot of Americans have with the Biden administration. You know, when you have people who can come out and actually talk about accusations that are as serious as the federal government is really screwing up the food supply chain. When you have accusations that are coming out like that, I have to tell you, things are not right in Mudville. Casey is not going to hit a home run. No question about that. Jimmy, your comments. Take it away, bud.
Yeah, so one of the biggest things in the news right now is the formula shortage that's facing many people in America, but all over the world. And of course, one of the large, when you dig a little deeper, you realize that the government had its hand in this, and the FDA directly, the Food and Drug Administration. So one of the largest producers, actually the biggest by far formula producer, almost controls the entire market, had a problem. There were a couple of people that died, children that died, that were on formula. And so they actually did an investigation and did an inspection back earlier on. And it was a while ago. They found a little bit of bacteria. Now, it wasn't, did have nothing to do with the death of these children, but they stopped the investigation to take a look and make sure there was nothing. Well, the FDA did an inspection and found that there was a little bit of bacteria in the formula. Again, not directly related to the death of these children, but they corrected it. They fixed it. But the FDA regulation actually shut down operations for this producer for a while. So that's a direct regulatory overreach that actually stopped production. Of course, the FDA had to come out and they had to give some exemptions in order to be able to produce again, because, again, this administration's level of control and inability to actually make decisions without the politics driving the situation. I think, and this is just one example. So part from what I understand and from what I'm seeing in multiple reporting efforts is, that involvement by the FDA has actually helped exacerbate this problem, which is having a direct impact to the health and safety of newborns all around this nation. Now, tie that together with the same arguments that they're making about abortion must be available all the way in the late term to the last minute of a birth. It doesn't make much sense to be arguing these two points as, unless you're, I don't know, there's some crazy things that are happening out there, and this administration's failing at it miserably.
Well, the administration is failing at it miserably, and I picked that up, and I know both you and I picked that up, I guess I want to say, years ago. We realized back in 2020 that it was not going to work for the progressives, and I have to say, I firmly believe it's not going to work for the progressives. But I tell you, I add a whole bunch of prayers to that, and the reason I do that is because we need God's help to straighten this country out. A lot of progressives may disagree with me, but then again, a lot of progressives disagree with me on the abortion issue. So, we listen to everybody on this show. We don't agree with everybody, but we listen to everybody. Right, Jim?
Well, that's absolutely right, because by keeping an open mind and listening, you can actually gain more. Sometimes you learn that people are just not sane when they're arguing some of these points. I mean, it's unbelievable to me to hear strong abortion supporters threaten to blow up the Supreme Court and kill the justices.
Yeah.
What value is that? I mean, how are they winning the argument by threatening violence? They're not.
No.
And that's exactly what you're seeing. The level of threats of violence, the level of control, level of authoritarian overreach that this administration has allowed to go forward and actually propagated through this disinformation governance board that they actually tried to put together, the Homeland Security, where they were going to fix disinformation. That's controlling speech, something that is very specifically outlined in the Constitution the government cannot get involved in. But they're willing to do that. And of course, you're hearing many people on the left continually make these arguments that, hate speech and violent speech and all that. And who determines that? What happens when Republicans get in power and they say that any abortion activist is committing hate speech because they want to protest the support for killing babies?
Yeah.
What leftist is going to support a Republican administration that says, well, if you yell hate at the president, you should go to jail? So Madonna, for saying she wants to blow up the White House, would go to jail. I mean, where does this stop? And this is the argument that they just do not understand, that they are pushing us over the edge. The left is pushing us over the edge, taking away people's ability to to actually communicate and talk about various issues without threats of violence. But that's the sign of a losing case, when you resort to violence and you no longer can resort to common sense or a good, solid argument. The facts are too clear right now. This administration is failing miserably across the board. So what are they doing? They're trying to change the narrative to support their agenda and force people to believe it.
Well, when you get people concerned about the food chain, which is, you know, I mean, that's a consideration, but it's not a major consideration. I mean, the president is not instigating Korean War tactics, you know, when it comes to the food chain. The food chain is a mess. There's no question about that.
But we don't know yet.
No, we
it's
don't.
It's too early.
Yet, but we know there
it's
are
too early, and we do know that this administration
would
be willing to. This administration be willing to. They just put the Defense Production Act in place against formula. So.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they are using some of these types of tactics. So, and we don't know how far they're willing to go, because clearly, as they begin to fail, they think that more administrative regulation is the solution, when it actually causes more problems.
Well, the problem that I see is that, you know, this kind of gets back to the same situation that we had during COVID. Who's right and who's wrong? I mean, COVID is pretty much a non-issue right now, in my opinion. With the possibility of New York State, New York City specifically. But, you know, when you come to scientific issues, when you come to medical issues, you can argue anything very, very effectively, Jimmy, in either direction. And that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, but here's the issue.
Yeah.
It's not just arguing. Because you can argue things all day long. It's which actual, what's the bottom line truth? And there is a truth. It's just how people spin it and control it in order to make their argument sound more salient. And in fact, what we're seeing here is a very, very nefarious effort by government officials to spin things to make it look like it's the truth. When in fact, when it comes right down to it, many of these issues, the economy, the border, inflation, the war in Ukraine, are directly related to their policies, when in fact they're blaming everybody else for it and they're doing whatever they can to kind of justify their positions.
Yeah.
And that's what's very, very dangerous. That is what authoritarian leaders do. That's what communist dictators do. And Americans better wake up to it.
Well, Americans are waking up to it. Unfortunately, that particular subject is going to go back and forth for a while before America truly realizes what's going on. When I say truly realizes what's going on, is you're getting very, very negative statements right now, political statements from the Democrats. And I have to say that we as a group of conservatives simply have to say, enough is enough. What you're saying is simply not the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back to wrap up KER Politics here in just a few minutes. Stick around. Killing of a human being. And I believe that a baby in the womb is a human being. I'm against that. You know, if a woman or a man, and I want to say not just a woman, but if a woman and a man are going to take the responsibility of the potential birth of a child, they need to take the responsibility of making sure that that child has a fair shot at getting ahead in this world. Jimmy, say whatever you want.
Yeah, so I think the responsibility starts. You know, everyone talks about choice, women's choice, the right to their body. Well, you know, I agree. They've got the choice of whether or not they have a relationship with a man that might produce a child. If they do have that relationship and it produces a child, because pretty much we all know how that works, then you have to take the responsibility for it. It's not a choice. It no longer is, you know, your body alone. that you do not share the same DNA as that child. There are three partners in this: the father, the mother, and now the child. Right. And who gets to make that decision? Should it be the right of the man to say, no, you can't have that child, you're going to abort it? Because he's just as responsible as the woman is. Yes, the woman is carrying it, but that is part of our human nature.
Yep.
You can't ignore that, and you can't ignore the fact that when life begins, science has shown so clearly now, when those cells begin to separate, when they actually, you get a heartbeat, you've got a human life there. And that's right. You know, having five children and actually losing one before it was before they were born, and being the son of a 16-year-old, I got some pretty strong feelings that, hey, I'm so glad it wasn't an option for my mom to just make the choice to get rid of me. And of course, my five children, my theoretical physicist son, my quarterback, football star, my artist daughter and son, and soldier that fought twice in Afghanistan, they wouldn't be here. They wouldn't be here.
So no, you got a great family to use as an example, Jim. You've got a perfect family to use as an example. You are truly the all-American family, McKinney. There's no question about that.
I'm very blessed and very lucky, and I do have that faith. And I think this entire argument is, again, a political attempt to motivate people out of anger and frustration with really a false narrative.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it's spreading, and the violence, the hate. I mean, how do you make that argument that I'm going to kill you if you don't let me kill children, if you don't let someone else kill children, whether, you know, what? Tell me what the difference is between the day before the child is delivered and the day after the child is delivered. You know, tell me that there's a big difference. That it makes no sense to me.
Don't.
And I think as we get more understanding, hopefully more people realize that this is not just a simple decision of one person, one woman's right to choose.
Right.
It's very, very, very complex, and there are many players involved in this.
Yeah, there are. Jimmy, I want to go into a different topic. I think everybody knows where we stand on that particular issue. Rob Shiras, who's a computer consultant who is helping us out in the sense that he is providing an awful lot of very, very thought-provoking questions about what's going on politically right now. You know, what's going on, a lot of people don't understand when people like Obama and Pelosi start sending out emails totally blasting the conservative movement. That means the party is very, very desperate. Give us some comments on that, James, would you?
Yeah, it seems, you know, there is a lot of overreach with facts and knowledge and fear. And I think that's and the problem that we're facing in America is this continual political use of fear. And it's done on both sides. Republicans, you know, fear, you know, they fear control. And I happen to agree with that. I fear too much authoritarian control. They create the image of, you know, people taking away your right to speak. And that's a fact that's happening right now. Of course, on the left, you've got, you know, the authoritarian tendencies of Trump. You know, he's going to be a dictator, or the Republicans are taking away your rights to make decisions for your own body. Again, is it your body or not? And they are capitalizing on it. And that's the unfortunate reality that we live in with both political parties now, is they somehow think that the way you win is by more money. And of course, the justification for that is that's how you get your message out. So they argue that it's more money and to get the message out. But what they really have done is created an entire industry of consultants and media experts and all these people that get involved in the political discussions, and it becomes a business for them. And Republicans and Democrats, they don't care which side they're really arguing for. They lost all sense of moral integrity in many cases. They immediately undermine the legitimacy of just regular people out there, and they're focused on the consultants. They're focused on how to get the money And unfortunately, it's incredibly disruptive to our future. And yeah. I think it's something has got to break with that. We've got to get candidates. And, you know, I think Trump came out of the gate. I'm sorry, I'm going on a little bit long here, but he came out of the gate in the 2016, 2015, 2016 primaries, and he won that without a pocket cost. He didn't spend a lot of money. And so, I mean, he spent, Jeb Bush spent almost as much money in the first couple of months as Trump did for the entire campaign. He won right. the nomination and the presidency. So money shouldn't make a difference if your message is solid and strong and people resonate with it. And that's what's so important right now is to get people that will actually, you know, Kathy Barnett in Pennsylvania, she spent almost, you know, way, way less than Dr. Oz and McCormick, the two people she's fighting against for it. But she did fairly well, got a pretty high percentage point. She lost it looks like. But, you know, we've got to figure out a way where people, and I think this is the future of politics, where people are actually looking at the issues, the people, the policies that they're going to go for that protect our individual interests. Well, and it's not all about the money.
Yeah, but with the level of animosity that exists right now in political circles, that's going to happen, but it's not going to happen for a while, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises that come out of this this 2022 midterm.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens with the 2024 national elections. But the bottom line is there is so much dissatisfaction in America right now with everybody about where the country's headed. I mean, nearly 80%. I think some of the polling is showing 75 to 80% are like dissatisfied with the direction of the country. That is painted very, that's a very bad picture for Democrats that lead both the House, the Senate, and the White House. You know, it's a damaging, very, very, very damaging statistic that they've got to face. And not only that, they're losing minority voters in droves, Hispanics. They're losing a significant portion of the black vote. They count on that for the urban power. And, of course, they're going to have a problem trying to find the middle ground and still motivate their progressive base that are the activists.
Well, I think they are because the progressives, you know, as exemplified by the lead progressives, and we don't need to keep repeating their names, you know who they are, but I don't think they are willing to even come close to compromising. Everybody who I know, who I would put into the category of being a progressive, is very, very definitely not willing to compromise. It'll be interesting to see in the upcoming election what the conservatives will be willing to come up with. Will they be willing to compromise effectively, or will they basically, if it happens to be Donald Trump as a candidate, will they be effective in their message? My personal opinion is I think they'll be very effective. Final word, Jimmy, real quick.
Yeah, so I'm really afraid that we're going to have another, you know, tremendous surprise that comes in because they're tempting to use, the left is tempting to use fear to control people, and I just don't want to see that. And unfortunately, our media supports it. So let's hope and pray that we can fight that.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.